This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at Reach 2022, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders Educational Programs on March 24 and 25, 2022, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
From 2014 to 2016, I worked as a counselor or a chief at Bald Eagle Boys Camp. And my job as a chief was to lead a group of 10 emotionally, behaviorally challenged boys to become young men who had the ability and the desire to live responsibly, to live productively. So I was their leader, I was their authority, but I knew, even though I was in that position, I knew that I didn't have it all together. And trust me, they knew it too. They picked up on that pretty quickly. However, because I was in that position, it was my group's responsibility to follow and to learn what they could from me as a chief and my co-chief. So, just as it was my responsibility to serve them, to care for them, and to equip them. And over the years, over the 2 years that I was at camp, I noticed a difference between how some of the boys responded to being in that position, to having an authority over them 24/7. And so I'd like to tell you about two of my boys. The one I'm going to call Bobby. Bobby was, he came to camp as a 14-year-old. He was very angry. His parents were largely uninvolved in his life. His dad was not there at all. His mom was in and out. And Bobby had just a lot of anger issues. He was emotionally not very well developed, socially as well. And so when he would get angry, he'd often lash out in physical ways. He would hit. He would bite sometimes. I have a couple scars from that. He didn't know how to talk about his feelings. And so it was our job as a group to help him think through what he's feeling, to be able to express what he's feeling and to deal with those feelings in productive ways. However, over his time at camp, one thing that hindered Bobby was that he tended to remove himself from the group. He didn't open himself up to his chiefs. He didn't open himself up to his group. And that made so he stayed at camp quite a bit longer. He had a harder time solving his problems. And this is in contrast to another one of my boys, who I'll call Jerry. Jerry also came to camp in a very similar situation. He had a lot of anger issues. His dad was not involved in his life. His mom was in and out and was not a very good role model for him. And so, but a difference between Jerry and Bobby was that whereas Bobby tended to remove himself from the group, Jerry opened himself up. And he engaged with us as chiefs. I still have a good relationship with Jerry today. In fact, I just talked to him the other week, and we're planning on getting together sometime this summer, maybe for a little reunion with the group that we did a raft trip with. So anyway, looking forward to that. Bobby ended up being at camp for over 2.5 years, whereas Jerry, his camp stay wasn't quite that long. And so I noticed this difference between these different responses from my boys to being in the group. And so over the 2 years I was there, I began to think about these different things that I was observing. And I realized that for myself, as a chief, I had a position very similar to like being a parent or maybe even a pastor of a church. I was in a position of authority, but I actually couldn't do that much if the rest of my group didn't get on board and help out and follow. And just like my boys were in relation to me, they were under authority. It was their job to, or it was their opportunity, I guess, to learn, to grow, and to become young men. I was like that in relation to the authorities in my life, my employer, my pastors, my parents. And so I'm thinking about all these things while I'm at camp, and I begin to realize that the relationships that I have with my authority directly impact my experience with living under that authority. I'd like to welcome all of you, and I'm glad that each of you are here. I am passionate about developing healthy relationships with authorities, with my authorities, because I've experienced the benefits that come when I engage on that level and when I pursue a healthier relationship with my authorities. And I've also experienced the challenges and the difficulties of not having that kind of healthy relationship. As Kent mentioned, I've lived under a variety of authorities, and I think back to my time in the youth group. I was like 15 or 16. I was making some poor choices in relation to pursuing a relationship with a girl, and emotionally volatile, all these different things. And so my youth leaders had to have a difficult conversation with me about these poor choices that I was making. But I was able to receive what they had to tell me because prior to that difficult conversation, I'd been spending time at their house. I had been developing a relationship with them. And so I was able to receive that. It was a blessing in my life. Even though it was a difficult conversation, it turned me, it put me on a good path, a better path than what I was on. And I think that might have been different if I had just tried to remove myself from them and not develop that relationship with them. A couple of years later, I got a job on a construction crew, and my crew leader was, we were building pole barns. It was a little bit rough around the edges, and in my immaturity, I got offended when he would basically tell me to get to work and get going. And sometimes, like I said, he was a little rough around the edges, but I got offended at him, and I think, and I ended up quitting that job, and I think I lost out on a good job opportunity because I didn't put in the effort to have a relationship with my crew leader. Kent also mentioned that that I said in my little bio that I've been under, I've been an authority in a variety of settings as well as being under authority. I talked about camp. Currently, I'm a teacher. I'm a high school teacher at United Christian School in Napanee, Indiana, and I really enjoy that. Teaching, it's the best job I've ever had, so it's awesome. But as a teacher, I've observed a difference in the experience that some of my students have. And it's really interesting. The students who are more open, more friendly, who try to engage with me on a more relational level, I don't know, maybe I'm just seeing things, but it seems like they have more fun. It seems like they have a better experience at school. Their overall experience is better. Whereas those who just try to be kind of put-off-ish and don't engage on that level, you know, it's not like they're failures or anything like that, but they have a harder time at school. And so relationships with our authorities matter. They affect our life. And if you don't get anything else from this talk, I want you to get this. I believe that it is worth putting in the effort to build those healthy relationships with your authorities because of the benefits that result from having a healthy relationship. It's difficult. It is effort, but it's worth doing. So based on, as I was preparing for this talk and I was thinking about my different experiences, I put together several strategies that I'd like to share with you this morning on how you can build better relationships, how you can work toward healthier relationships with your authorities. So I'd like to share those with you, but several things before we get there. First, I just want to pause and recognize that not all relationships in our life with our authorities, or not all authorities in our life will be very godly. When we have those authorities who maybe aren't looking out for our best interest, it's difficult to have a good relationship with them. But I do want to encourage you, if you find yourself in that position now, or if not now, you likely will at some point in the future, still try to apply these principles. First of all, it's a witness for them, and maybe it'll help them to change, to become a better authority, a better person. And secondly, it'll help to make your relationship with them as good as it can be. You know, it might not get to the level that you have with some other authorities who truly do care about you, but perhaps it can be better and more bearable. So that's the first thing I just want to recognize. Second, most of these strategies are biblical principles, and I've kind of outlined them using the word healthy. Does anybody not have a handout? You want to raise your hand if you don't have a handout. Could one of the staff just make sure you get the hand those out so you can take notes? You'll see on the front, I just have H-E-A-L-T-H-Y. So that's healthy. That's what we're going to be talking about. On the back, I have several questions. So yeah, thank you. Just keep your hand up until you get one, and our moderators here will make sure you get one. I printed like 150. If there aren't enough to go around, then maybe take notes, copy off of a neighbor's paper, something like that. Are there extra pens? Extra pens. Pens and papers. Okay, pens and papers will be coming around. Our moderators are doing a great job here. Thank you for that, Kent and company. Okay, so while we're passing those out, I also just want to let you know that what I'm talking about this morning is from the perspective of what we, who are under authority, can do to work toward that healthy relationship. There's a lot of books out there that are written for leaders, for authorities, to help them to lead, to help them develop relationships, to help them communicate well, all these different things. But I wasn't able to find very many from the perspective of us who are under authority coming, working toward those relationships. It looks like we're out of papers, so you can put your hand down if you haven't gotten a paper yet. Thank you for that. Thank you for passing those out. And the last thing I want to talk about before we go into the outline, I would like you to take some time to think about the authorities in your own life who you're struggling with. So turn your paper over. And on the back of your paper, I have three questions. Look at the first question there. Who are the authorities in your life who you are struggling with right now? Why? What's the issue there? And I just want to take maybe 3 minutes for you to tune into yourself and write. And I'm not gonna be cold calling anyone and asking you to share what you wrote. So this is just for you. But I would like you to think about who are these authorities, and write down specific names and specific issues to allow God to speak into your life for how you can maybe improve that as we continue to learn. So you have your papers, you have your pens, you have 3 minutes. Go ahead and start writing. Think about a variety of categories. Maybe it's a parent, maybe it's a pastor, maybe it's a teacher, boss. All right, you might still be writing, but I'm going to go ahead and move on. So you can turn your paper over again. And the first strategy that I'd like to look at, the H in healthy, stands for honor. Honor your authorities. This is a biblical principle. In Ephesians 6, 1-3, Paul tells his readers, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." Paul also writes in Romans 13, verse 1, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God." Paul is, in the Ephesians passage, Paul is referencing an Old Testament command that God gave to Moses, and Moses passed on to the children of Israel. The command was to obey your parents and to honor them. Honor your father and mother. And God didn't just give this command to the children of Israel. God also gave a promise to them. And that's what Paul is referencing when he says this is the first commandment with a promise. He's referencing the promise. The promise was that if you do this, or when you do this, you will prosper, you will live long in the land. And that's the promised land, Canaan, where God was calling them. So this is an incredibly important principle, so much so that God doesn't just give it as a command, but he outlines a specific blessing that comes with this command. When we honor our authorities, God can bless our lives because we are following his command. The Romans passage that Paul writes in Romans 13 there, to let every person be subject to the governing authorities, I think is so fascinating because he's writing to the Roman church who was under the rule of one of the most despicable rulers in all of world history, the Emperor Nero. Nero was a known murderer. It's likely that he was a madman as well, like maybe a little bit insane. This was documented, I forget by which historian, and it was probably documented after Nero died, because otherwise this historian might have been killed, that Nero was a really poor musician, and he would like to play the flute, and he invited people in his court to come and listen to him play the flute. And I imagine it sounding a little bit like that. How many of you have seen that video on YouTube with the recorder playing My Heart Will Go On? It's really bad. Look it up. It's hilarious. But I imagine his flute playing is something like this. And in his court, in Nero's court, if anybody laughed, if anybody frowned, if anybody did not applaud him at the end of this really poor flute playing, they would be killed on the spot. And so that's the authority that Paul is writing about. That's the authority that Paul is telling the church in Rome. Be subject to this authority. God has put him in place. God has put him over you. And if Paul is writing about an authority like this, I think God is asking us to be under, to honor any authority in our life. Giving honor where it is due has tremendous power. First, it puts us in the position that God asks of us, and a blessing results on our life. And second, this is maybe more from personal experience. As an authority, as a teacher, when I feel a student has an honoring attitude, for me, and I can't speak for all teachers, but for me, it makes me realize that I need to step up and be worthy of that position. So I'm in the position, the student has that attitude, and I need to be worthy of it. I need to step up to that. So I think honoring our authorities not only brings a blessing on our life, but it also helps our authorities to lead and to realize that they need to lead well. So honor your authorities. The E in healthy stands for empathize. Empathize with your authority. What is empathy? The dictionary definition for empathy is the identification with and understanding of another's situation, feelings, and motives. I think back to my time at camp. As a chief, I often had to make difficult decisions that were unpopular with my group. Maybe it was missing a meal so that we could finish a work schedule. Maybe we would still eat, but we wouldn't get to eat in Chuck Wagon. Maybe it was standing for 2 hours in a circle in the snow, helping a boy solve his problems. And, chief, we want to get back to campsite or whatever. As the leader, I had to see the bigger picture. I had to think about what was best for the whole group or for this particular boy. And sometimes the group, the boys in my group, weren't able to see that. So when we empathize with our authorities, that means thinking about the reasons behind the decisions that they're making. It means thinking about how actions affect our authorities and how the actions of others affect our authorities. And as we empathize with our leaders, I believe that we'll become more gracious towards them. It enables us to support them better as we understand them better. And as we do that, we create healthier relationships with our authorities. So empathize with your leaders. The A in healthy stands for allow. Allow your leaders, allow your authorities to lead you. Referencing back to the passage in Ephesians 6, 1-3, Paul says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And he goes on to talk about honoring and the promise of blessing with that. So being obedient is one way that we allow our authorities to lead us. They ask us to do something, and we follow what they're asking of us. Hebrews 13:17, the writer of Hebrews says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." So as I mentioned earlier in this talk, I am thinking about, or I'm speaking of, leaders who really do have your best interest in mind. God has put the responsibility on them to help you in your walk. God has put the responsibility on them to help you grow into the best person that you can possibly be. And when we resist that, we're resisting the person that God has put in place to help us. And Paul says let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. I can speak from personal experience. When I'm in that position, when I'm trying to help someone out, when I'm trying to help one of my students see something, and they're just resisting that, that's difficult. It makes leading them very difficult. And I'm not saying everything I tell someone is right, or if you just follow what I say, you're going to be, you know, healthy, wealthy, and wise. But God has given that responsibility to our authorities. So I think it behooves us to allow them to lead us. When we don't allow our leaders to lead us, it makes their job very difficult. And when we do allow that, our relationship can be better, can be healthier, and I think we'll prosper. The L in healthy stands for love. And I want to take a little bit of a different approach to this. There's this passage in James, I think it's James 3, where James tells his readers, not all of you should want to be or should aspire to be teachers or preachers, etc., because those who are in that position will be, and I think he says, judged more strictly. That's appropriate. Our authorities, our leaders, are in that higher position, and it is appropriate that they're held to a higher standard. However, in my experience, thinking about the authorities I've been under, maybe it's because they're in this public position, their flaws are more obvious. When they mess up, when they do something, it's irritating. Maybe if our friend or our parent did it or something, we'd be like, ugh, that's so annoying, and then kind of forget about it. But when it's maybe a pastor or a teacher, this becomes like a really big deal. And we can allow it to hinder our relationship. So in loving them, I'm just encouraging us to look past those flaws. Love our leaders in spite of our flaws. And two ways that we can love our leaders are to pray for them. 1 Timothy 2:1-2 says, "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings, all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way." So Paul does say we should pray for everyone, but he specifically mentions our leaders, those who are in high positions, as individuals that we should pray for. So prayer is one way that we can love our authorities. And a second is just through doing acts of kindness. Maybe it's volunteering to babysit their kids so they can go on a date. Maybe it is a monetary gift. Maybe it's taking a meal over. But acts of kindness show your appreciation for your authorities. So love your authorities in spite of their flaws, in spite of their personality conflicts. And when we can do that, I think we'll have healthier relationships with our authorities. The T in healthy stands for tell. Being a parent of a nine-month-old child, which maybe doesn't count because she can't really speak that well, but being a teacher, being a pastor, being a chief, often, I think I can speak for everyone there, not all the time, but often can feel like a thankless job. You have this position, you have these responsibilities, but how well do we do with telling our authorities what we appreciate about them? When we tell our authorities what we appreciate about them, it forces us to look past just the things that we don't like, the issues we have, how they mispronounced a word during the sermon, or how annoyed we were that we had to stay in over lunch break to do homework, or something like that. So we can have these annoyances, but we ought to also tell our authorities what we appreciate about them. Appreciation goes a long way toward encouraging our authorities. And I think back to my second year when I was at camp. I was thinking about, you know, how my parents had raised me and how it was, you know, I just had a lot of values instilled that the boys in my group didn't. I had a good relationship with my parents. I had both my parents. And as I was journaling about this one day, I just decided to call mom and dad, and or maybe it was just my mom, I kind of forget now, but and just thank them for how they had raised me, for how they disciplined me, for the values that they had instilled. And I just remember after that call, just feeling a sense of closeness in our relationship that was different than before. When we tell our authorities what we appreciate about them, it brings us closer together. So tell your authorities what you appreciate. The second H in healthy stands for help. It is certainly our leader's job to organize things, to cast a vision, to, you know, be the point person. But I'm telling you, people, it's not just their responsibility. It is also our responsibility as those under authority to help, to see what we can do to further that ministry. Maybe it's volunteering to be a Sunday school teacher. Maybe it's volunteering to help in kids club. Whatever it might be, there's numerous opportunities out there to help our authorities. And the thing about this is when we engage on that level, instead of it just being like a top-down thing where our authorities tell us what to do and, oh, okay, we've got to go do it. Why? Because I said so. Instead of it being that kind of a relationship, we become partners, and we're working for the same goal. We're on a more even playing field. So helping our authorities, I think, brings us closer together and creates better, stronger, healthier relationships instead of it just being a thing where we are, always told what to do. Helping our leaders also helps us to be more understanding of their position and of what they go through. So, you know, that helps with the whole empathy thing also. The last letter, Y, and arguably the most important, is you. You, Y-O-U. Each of us is personally responsible for the choices we make in relation to this whole thing of having a healthy relationship with our authorities. The attitudes that we choose to have. We choose that. You choose that. The effort toward building a healthy relationship, that's up to you. So, you know, we can read all these things, we can hear all these things, but ultimately it is up to each of us individually to make the choice to engage, to approach, to pursue our authorities. And I encourage us to do that. I don't think it's possible to have a healthy relationship with our authorities if it's just a one-way street. It has to be reciprocated. So you are responsible to take the tools that we're talking about today to make the effort. Each of us is responsible for that. I've just been so blessed in my life with a relationship with one of my authorities, my lead pastor, James. After I got done with camp, I was thinking about hiking the Appalachian Trail. It's a 2,200-mile trail, runs from northern Georgia to central Maine, and this is kind of a goal that I had. Anyway, I was meeting with James, my pastor, and talking about just different things I was going through with coming out of service and my goals for the future, and I was telling him about this hiking trip that I had planned and questioning, you know, is it worth taking 4 months to do this? Like, I'm not working during that time. I'm spending money, and I'm not making money. So, like, is that a good plan? Anyway, so we're talking about these things, and maybe about 5 weeks or so from the date when I was going to head out, James, in one of our meetings, James told me, he said, Courtney, I think you need to hike this trail. From what I've been hearing about what your desire is, I think it's something you need to do. If you don't do it, you will be kicking yourself for the rest of your life, wishing that you would have. And then, so I was like, okay, yeah, wow, thank you. That's a good perspective. I hadn't thought about that. And then he said, and I'll never forget this, he said, if you get partway along the trail, halfway, three-quarters of the way, and you just feel like you're done, and you just feel like, you know what, it's not worth it, I want you to call me. I will personally drive there. I will meet you on the trail, and I'll tell you to get your butt in gear and go finish the trail because you need to do it. And it was such an encouragement. It was such a blessing that here was a leader who knew me, who was able to speak into my life, and I didn't take him up on it. I kind of wish I would have just to see what would have happened. But I ended up finishing that, and James and his encouragement was a big part of that. So having that relationship with my pastor was a huge blessing in my life. To develop healthy relationships, we've looked at a couple strategies today. Honor your authority. Empathize with your authority. Try to understand where they're coming from. Allow your authorities to lead you. Love them in spite of their flaws. Tell them what you appreciate about them. Help them. And each of us, each of you, is responsible to make this choice. That's all I have to share this morning, and I do want to take some time. Like I said, I don't think I'm a professional or an expert on this. These are some things I've learned, but before we do that, so I'd like to take some time for Q&A. If you have any questions, or maybe you'd like to share a little bit about experiences you've had with your authorities, things that you've learned with this topic. But I would like to take a little bit of time to look at the last two questions on your paper. So you can go ahead and turn that over. Look at questions 2 and 3. What are several ways that you could work toward growing a healthier relationship with the leaders that you talked about in question 1? We've looked at these different strategies. Did anything connect with you? And the last question, in what ways do you need to change to make healthier relationships with your authorities possible? So I just want to take a couple minutes again, maybe 2 or 3 minutes, and allow God to speak to you. What are some things he's asking you to change? How is he asking you to engage with your authorities? So, a couple minutes here. Go ahead and just tune into God and to yourself and write down whatever comes to mind. Okay, I just want to open it up. Does anybody have any questions or any clarification that you would like on anything that I shared? Is there something that came to mind that you would like to ask me or the rest of the group? Or is there something that you would like to share, something you've learned in this subject of relating and how we can have good relationships with our authorities? We have 5 minutes here, and so if anybody has any questions or something I'd like to you'd like to share, the time is yours.
I'd be interested in hearing
Good. So the question is, how can we relate with someone who was over us in the past? This is a business setting, and we are now transitioning to being their authority. And so it could have some sticky dynamics because the roles are changing. I guess the first thing that comes to mind for me is just making sure that they know that you appreciate them, that you value them, that you are not somehow gleeful or something that you're on top now, but that you still consider yourself a partner with them. Your roles have changed, but that your relationship is still as coworkers, as team players, not an overlord or something like that. Yeah. Thank you for that. Go ahead.
Maybe a comment on that is to be very humble and don't get any status out of a position or title, but recognize essentially your equals. Yes, you have a role of responsibility, but you're equal members of the team.
Thank you for that. Yes, and if anybody else would like to, if we have any questions and somebody else, like, man, yeah, I learned a little bit about that, please feel free to speak into that. So, yes, in the back. So am I hearing you right that in this position, the manager or the owner has kind of surrounded himself with an echo chamber, and that others in the company, especially those in lower positions, may be seeing improvements that could be made, but that those aren't really, those are kind of ignored because they don't align with what this person is thinking, saying. That's a really difficult position. Reminds me of, something my uncle has talked about in the company he works at home. I think it's certainly important that a person in that position continues to honor the authority that is above them, that is biblical. Beyond that, I'm not really sure. I haven't been in that experience myself. I will say that two things I think are likely to happen in a situation like that. Either eventually truth will win the day and the ideas that are being propagated at the top will cause if they're not good ideas, will cause the company to crumble or not be as successful, which may open the leader's eyes to being open to other ideas. If that doesn't happen, it may become a toxic environment where an individual in that position may need to seek other options. I guess I'm not sure. Would anybody else have anything to speak into that? I think back to a series of messages that Rick Rhodes gave. It's his 2020 Vision Sold Out series. And he talks about the story of Joseph and how Joseph had these dreams as a young man. He told them to his father. He said, "Sun, the moon, the stars, they bow down to me. These sheaves of wheat bow down to me." And what did his father do? His father's like, "Ha! Your parents, your siblings, they're going to bow down to you? What a joke." They didn't take him seriously. And Joseph went through a process of preparation before God actually used him in that position. That was a really challenging thought for me that I had that, or when I heard that from Rick Rhodes and what he talked about. And I think I agree with this. God asks us to be under the authority. And sometimes we're passionate. We desire change. We want good things, and they just don't see it. And if we don't act on it now, we might lose that opportunity. We need to do it now. That's how it feels. But God is asking us, when we're in that position, especially as young people, I really think he's asking us to honor these authorities, even if they're saying you should wait on that. And that when we honor that, God will prepare us. We don't lose the vision. We don't lose the vision. But we wait on God's timing to move into that vision. And when we wait, we are more prepared that God can use us more successfully in that capacity. So it's not easy, but I guess that's what I have to say on that. So thank you for those questions. Enjoy being here with each one of you. I hope you all have a great day. I'll turn it over to our moderator to be dismissed.
Thank you for listening. All recordings from Reach 2022 are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. To purchase additional recordings from Reach or other Faith Builders events, visit us online at www.christianlearning.org or call us at 814-789-4769.